fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with Dr. Phil Giliotti. It's been 2 weeks. We've had the privilege of having Dr. Phil with us here on the program.
Might as well move to Ann Arbor.
Yeah, you can move to Ann Arbor. That's right. Yeah. Yesterday, if you didn't get a chance to hear the program, I do really want to encourage you to tune in. Go to renewalministries.net. Renewalministries.net. You can hear the program there. The programs are archived. Dr. Phil was sharing two stories of God healing both his grandson and a healing that his wife had. Now, when you shared the healing from Joan, the mass that Joan had, that the doctors literally, they anesthetized her, put her on the table, they're ready to cut her open.
Yeah.
Now, you saw all the before and after.
Oh, yes. Oh, saw all the ultrasounds, the scans, the everything. Reviewed it with all these people with long faces, and
in our
business,
state of shock.
We tend to have a lot of long faces when
something like that happens.
Oh yeah, because then you go in the room with the family, and the families are all looking at you, and you say, "Well, we have a problem here," and everybody kind of goes, "Oh,
yeah." It takes the air out of the room.
And then when you're on the receiving end of it, it's a lot different than when you're the one giving the news.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's bad either way. But those two things I mentioned, my grandson and my wife, they were things that witnessed to people who came in contact.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the man who's the head of pediatric ENT at University Hospitals, who's was involved in every step of the way of taking care of this baby before and after he was born, came to his first birthday party.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Yeah.
I said, "How many kids' birthday parties do you go to?" And he said, "None." But he came because this was such a special thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when he saw the baby toddling into the room, the cool thing was he picked him up and his eyes teared up.
Hmm.
I thought that was really neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this was a testimony. Mm-hmm. And it's, like as you said yesterday, signs and wonders, accompany the message.
Yeah. The preaching of the gospel.
Yeah.
I know you love, there's so many things about the scripture you love to talk about. This is your last day with us.
Oh,
for now, anyway, we've got to have you back again sometime in the future. I think it's just enjoyable to
whenever
listen
I say
to
that's
the Lord's
my favorite
journey.
Verse, people say, "Oh, come on, you say that about everything."
About every verse in the Bible, basically. I know the Lord's shown you a lot about Passover and the whole connection to, just the study and working hard, trying to understand the rule of the Passover. And
absolutely.
Why don't you just share with us some of what's on your heart about that?
Yeah. I mentioned in, I don't remember which show it was, about studying the Torah, studying the Old Testament, and making notes, and all these things prefigure Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's become a lot of what I teach. And in the Cleveland area, I do this in houses and in churches. And I have a radio show there called The Gift of Grace, which is kind of the, plan of salvation unfolding through the scriptures. And if you go to giftofgraceministries.org, the shows are archived there, or you can listen online when they're live. They're on Saturday nights at 7, so most people aren't
I've heard a few of your shows. I really like them.
Thank you. And that's been an amazing thing, too, which the Lord kind of led me to, because somebody was doing an hour show during that time and said, "I don't want to do a show anymore. Do you want to do a show?" And I said, "Yes." And been a little bit of a problem paying for the radio time, but the Lord works out a way to out a way to do it. And one of the amazing ways that prophecy unfolds is with the seven feasts of the Lord. In the Torah, God gives the people seven feasts. The New Testament doesn't tell us any feasts we should celebrate. It doesn't tell us to celebrate feast days or holidays. The Israelites had seven feasts. Everybody knows Passover. But because I said, last week in the first show when we were together, the idea of the unblemished lamb is really what led to my conversion. Mm-hmm. The idea of, blood had to be shed because of sin. Mm-hmm. Later on in the scripture, it's going to say, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Mm-hmm. Because the whole process of atonement in the Old Testament was animal sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And I do this thing, which is a 33-part study of the Torah that just kind of explains how everything prefigures Jesus. And then from there, we go into the book of Hebrews, which really ties it all together with the idea of the high priest and the sacrifice. But if you remember what happens at the Passover, it's a liberation from slavery in Egypt. Mm-hmm. and the people were slaves in Egypt for 425 or 435 years, and then God's going to deliver them. And he gives them kind of a, through Moses, he gives them kind of an unusual set of instructions. He doesn't tell them to raise an army. He doesn't tell them to make weapons. He doesn't tell them to start killing Egyptians. He doesn't tell them to start a guerrilla war and eventually they'll let us go. He tells them to take a lamb who's male and is a year old and doesn't have any blemishes. It's a perfect lamb. And the lamb stays there for 4 days, from the 10th day of the month to the 14th day of the month. The lamb is there with the family. And then in the evening twilight of that fourth day, the lamb is killed. The lamb is slaughtered. And it's roasted whole. And none of its bones are broken. And then the blood from the lamb is applied to the doorpost and lintels of their house. So in other words, here's this little lamb. He's been here for 4 days. The kids are playing with him. He's really cute. Everybody gets to know the lamb. Then the lamb is killed. And then his blood is put on the doorpost of your house. And God tells the people, when the angel of death comes over, if you have the blood of the lamb on your house, if you have the blood of the lamb over you, you don't get the curse. You're spared from the curse. If you don't have the blood, you get the curse. The whole consequence of the curse comes on you if you don't have the blood of the lamb. And this is why I said last week, that's when the lights went on in my head, is, you know, for 43 years, I didn't know why was Jesus called the Lamb of God. And then when I heard that passage read on the radio about the blood sacrifices, that's when my conversion started. That's what was like kind of the instrument of it. And, you know, Egypt is a metaphor for sin. You know, people are delivered from sin. God delivers them. God takes them out. He takes one nation out of another. You know, in Isaiah it says, where have you ever heard that one nation's taken out of another? And, you know, God sovereignly delivers them, but he doesn't just do it. He makes them do this ceremony first, this ritual, this liturgy. I mean, they wouldn't have called it a liturgy, but they had a lamb. And not only was the lamb killed and the blood was put, but the lamb had to be eaten. And there had to be bread. You know, there was unleavened bread and there was a lamb. You know, everything about Jesus is bread. He's born in a place called House of Bread. That's what Bethlehem means in Hebrew. Bethlehem, House of Bread. He talks about how he's the bread come down from heaven. He's talked about how your ancestors ate bread and they died. But if you eat this bread, you're not going to die. And he's talking about himself. And in the second half of John chapter 6, you all know that discourse he has where, you know, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you don't have life. And everybody goes, oh, wait a minute. You know, we thought this guy was kind of interesting and a good teacher, but, you know, now he's talking weird.
Yeah.
So we're leaving. We're leaving. You know, everything about him is about bread. And, you know, you have the unleavened bread at the Passover. And the such instructions for this meal and the Last Supper is a Passover. It's a Seder. My wife, Joan, and I do a lot of Seders at Passover time in churches and in homes where we go through each element of the Passover and the Seder meal and how it represents what Jesus did at the Last Supper. And interestingly, you know, you can read in Exodus about the Passover, but of course, as time went on, there were different traditions that were added on. So the Passover that's celebrated now is not exactly like the Passover in the scripture. And by the time Jesus was here, there were a lot of these traditions. And the one that really strikes me, you know, there's unleavened bread and there's lamb and there's the cups of wine, which he did at the Last Supper. But the one that really struck me is, you may or may not be aware of this, but part of the Passover meal is actually a children's game where a piece of matzah, which is flat bread, is broken so that there's three pieces. The middle piece, the second piece,
The afikoman,
is put in a little purse-like thing, which is all decorative and cute, and then it's hidden. So the second part of the matzah goes away for a while and is hidden. And then the kids go and find it and bring it back to the table. And then the leader, who's the father, opens up the purse and takes it out and holds it up and then breaks it, and everybody eats a piece. Now, what does that sound like?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
The Christian Passover, called the Mass, called the Eucharist.
Yeah,
called,
amen. And here is this, and it's actually
and the three matzot you have. The second one, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the second one is broken.
Right.
And he's the bread that must be broken. And
exactly. Yeah. It goes away, it comes back.
Yeah.
And interestingly, this was a game that was meant for the children.
Hmm.
And, you know, it was this point that Jesus instituted the Eucharist. And, you know, the cups of wine, you know, he uses that, you know, to say, well, this is my blood. I mean, the Passover narratives that was given to the people back in the wilderness, he now uses to proclaim the new covenant.
Yeah.
You know, this is my blood. It's the new covenant. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be a third covenant.
And the genius of the Lord, the gift that he's given to us, is he puts us at the Eucharist in contact.
Yes.
Because the actual Passover of his dying on the cross and the shedding of his blood, that deed that breaks the curse over our lives is made present on that altar.
Yes.
Yeah, and we're to drink the cup of the blood of salvation from all of that. I mean, it's made present for us.
Yes.
And it's that that keeps us strong and keeps us safe and from which the whole life of salvation comes from.
The cup of blessing.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's a family meal.
Yeah.
That's the other cool thing.
Yeah.
Like the whole family of the church is gathered around it.
Yeah.
Just like at Passover, the family gets together.
Yeah.
You don't say, well, it's Passover, I'm going to go out to eat.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm going to go do my own lamb. Yeah. You have to do it. You have to do it as a family.
It's a communal feast, really.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that is so cool, because all of this, and this is what I was talking about. I keep referencing the fact that things in the Torah prefigure Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great example.
Yeah.
Everything is there.
Yeah.
Everything is prefigured. In Hebrews, it says there's types and shadows, and then you have the substance.
Yeah.
And I think that's
pointing
the best example.
They're sort of participating in it already, but they're pointing to it. It's like the whole work of salvation throughout human history. God's working with the Jews. He was saving a people.
Yes.
He was acting to people. But the fullness, when time reached its fulfillment in the coming of the Lord, all that was anticipated through God's actions, all that the Lord was speaking through the prophets, all that he was doing through his actions in the saving history of the people of Israel was pointing to the ultimate culmination in his son Jesus, when literally the entire creation of God is going to be renewed and recreated by the Son.
Exactly right.
By Jesus Christ.
And it goes back to Egypt being sin, God delivering the people by blood, by the blood of a lamb and bread.
Yeah.
To going to the land, which was the land of promise.
Yeah.
And it's the whole Christian journey. You know, we go from sin, we're delivered by blood, and we go to heaven, we go to the land of promise.
Yeah.
And it's all prefigurement.
And he feeds us. Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, we could do this for hours.
It would be really great. Well, thank you so much for being with us
my pleasure.
This week. And it's amazing the work that God's done in your life and your willingness to share it with us. And God bless you.
Thank you.
And brothers and sisters, God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.